Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Welcome to this week's episode of Money Tree Investing Podcast. We're happy to have you joining us today for this exciting show. My name's Kirk Chisholm, and I'm going to be your host. Today, we're going to be talking about starting and scaling an online business from zero to 300,000 visitors a month in 1 year's time. And we're going to be talking with Logan Alec, who's a CPA and owner of Money Done Right. So we're really excited to start this interview, dig into some of these secrets. But before we do, let's talk about Betterment. Are you looking for a better way to invest during market turmoil? Consider Betterment. Betterment is a robo-advisor that uses time-tested principles of modern portfolio theory to help you manage your wealth and reach your financial goals. With Betterment, you don't have to worry about what the market's doing on a day-to-day basis. Instead, Betterment allows you to use the stock market to consistently build wealth. For more information, visit moneytreepodcast.com/Betterment. A lot of investors use Betterment, but it doesn't mean it's the right fit for you. Do your own research. Check out moneytreepodcast.com/Betterment to see if Betterment is a right fit for you. So today we're talking with Logan Alec. Welcome to the show, Logan.
Hey, Kirk. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you on. I really appreciate you coming on because I think what you've been able to do has been absolutely fascinating to me. And I know a lot of the listeners are going to really get a lot out of this. Let's start by telling us a little about your background.
Sure. So for almost a decade, I was a CPA helping big businesses save money as a tax advisor. Somewhere along the line, I thought to myself, these huge, multi-billion dollar companies, they really need any more money. So I decided to take my skills and use it in a more person-to-person way by launching a personal finance blog called Money Done Right. Been a little over a couple years now. And within a year of launching it, I was able to replace my full-time income and pursue that online business full-time.
That's great. And just to answer your question, yes, big companies always need more money. What kind of started that journey? What was really kind of the defining point where you just said, I've had enough and I'm going to start a website and that's going to be my path?
It was kind of a two-pronged thing. The first thing that was going on in my life right at that point was I really just wanted to escape the rat race, escape client service. I had decided it wasn't for me. And, kind of along my path, I had looked for ways, whatever you want to call it, passive income or, whatever you want to call it, to eventually replace my income as a CPA. So over the years, I've tried real estate and a couple of other things, and they were all good things, but it would just take a while to scale those to the point where it could replace my income. With an internet business, though, it was clear to me that this was something that could be scaled fairly rapidly with relatively little risk. All I really needed was my laptop and internet connection, a couple $100 to start the blog with web hosting and like a theme and things like that. So relatively low risk, scalable. It seemed like the perfect business for me to start at the time. And then the other thing was kind of given my background and kind of being naturally frugal, I was always kind of seen as a financial resource for my circle of friends. And I thought that this blog, even if nothing came of it, financially speaking, it'd still be a nice kind of hobby for me and a resource I could point friends to and things like that.
It's interesting. So I read a stat a while ago, every single minute, there are 1,500 blog posts put up on the internet. Put that in context. I mean, that is a huge amount of blog posts being put up. Starting a blog is not easy. How are you able to make it successful? How are you able to have people find your site?
Well, you really kind of got to get a feel for where people are looking for good content, and particularly good, content, whatever your niche is. I basically looked at what other successful bloggers were doing in my space. I looked at other successful personal finance bloggers and I said, wow, okay, what are they writing about? What are they promoting? How are they monetizing? How are they getting traffic? And applied it to my own context. In blogging, like in many other businesses, reverse engineering other success can take you pretty far. It can't take you all the way, but it can get you off your feet.
Did you have a specific strategy? I mean, you don't have to divulge your deepest, darkest secrets here, but certainly, did you have a certain path? I know some people like to focus on social media. Some people do SEO or email lists. Did you have a certain strategy that kind of worked for you to help you build this business?
Well, the long-term game was always SEO, and I think that really should be the long-term game for any blogger. But initially, Google's not going to give you thousands of visitors a day right off the bat, you're going to have to use social media. And the social media platform that I found that I was able to get the most organic traffic from relatively quickly was Pinterest. Also did some things on Facebook, but Facebook has clobbered its organic reach as of late. So yeah, the initial traffic was due to social media efforts, but you know, by the time I went full time with it, Google SEO traffic, which I laid the foundations for early on, had eclipsed that social media reach. So I would say folks should plan for SEO and for Google and make sure you're doing things right from that perspective, even if it's not rewarded immediately. But then initially, just to get some traffic, you're going to have to rely on social media.
Yeah, because I think you have an overwhelmingly female audience, which I think probably makes a lot of sense because Pinterest is also largely women, right?
It was even more skewed at first. Right now, 60, maybe some months, 70, 60-40 female male, sometimes maybe 70-30. But at the beginning, when most of the traffic was coming from Pinterest, it was like 80-20, 90-10. So, I really had to put myself kind of in the shoes of the average Pinterest user. What kind of person is on Pinterest and what would be of interest to them in terms of financial topics? It was just kind of very basic everyday things like, how to save money on groceries, how to make an extra $200 a month from home, stuff like that. So, you really got to know your audience and who is going to be coming across your stuff, because you can be on social media and have maybe some great content promoting it on there. But if your audience isn't on that particular platform, no one's going to come.
I haven't used Pinterest all that much, but I found it works for some audiences. People are interested in like health or visually. I mean, it's a visual platform, right? So you need good visuals. How are you able to make that work with your blog?
Well, with personal finance, it is a little tough because it's not inherently visual. Food bloggers, they can really crush on Pinterest by showing this beautiful dish. And obviously beauty bloggers and cosmetic bloggers, they can do a before and after. Hey, this is me without the skin treatment. This is me after. But with personal finance, it's not inherently visual like those other niches are. So you kind of got to get a little bit creative. I used a lot of stock photography. And you basically, at least I found, you want to show happy people. A lot of folks right now, they aren't happy with their lives. And a big part of that could be their financial situation. But you got to remember that Pinterest is an aspirational platform. People go on there to look for ideas on who they want to be and how to get there. So if you can show, just happy, smiling faces, typically female faces, the image should be bright so it catches the user's eye in the Pinterest feed. That'll go a long way.
Nice. So your blog, Money Done Right, what's kind of your central theme? Personal finance is a huge area, but what do you mainly focus on with your blog?
Initially, it was a lot of side hustles and, how to make money from home and things like that. So that's still very much the core. But one of our goals for the remainder of this year is to really build out other verticals and really become a comprehensive financial resource. But from the get-go, it was really how to make extra money and things like that.
Now, you built this enormous traffic in year one, and which in itself is really a great feat, because I know there are a lot of bloggers out there and most of them don't get that kind of traffic after even years. How were you able to make this into a business? Because you left a full-time job that was probably paying well. What did it take for you to actually monetize the blog to be able to make that transition?
Well, there's a few ways to monetize a blog. I think probably the one that people know the most about or the most familiar with is display ad. So you go on a website, you see some ads pop up in the sidebar or at the bottom of the screen. I tend to stay away from those. I do a little bit of that, but that's about only 5% of the blog's revenue monthly, and that number is probably going to go down. The vast majority of the blog's revenue is from affiliate marketing. So for those of you who don't know, affiliate marketing is you partner with a brand that's related to what you write about, and they give you a special link, and that link goes to their website. But this link is your affiliate link. It's associated with you. And so you place this link, your affiliate link, on your website, and you promote this brand, say how great it is. And when people click that link and sign up and they create an account or they make a purchase, you get a commission from that transaction. So affiliate marketing is responsible for allowing me to transition from kind of hobby blogger to full-time blogger.
So you got most of your income through affiliates.
Yeah, probably about 95% in any given month comes from affiliate marketing.
So basically, you're just earning. So affiliate marketers, for people who don't understand, that's more commission, right? You're making commission off of when people buy things from the other partners?
Yeah, it could be a commission off of a sale, like, you know, say 30% of their purchase, or sometimes some affiliate programs are just based on a lead. Someone gives their name and email address, and you get, you know, a certain commission from that. So there's a few ways that affiliate programs are structured. But at the end of the day, yes, it is commission-based.
And how many of these sort of affiliate relationships do you have?
Right now, over 100.
Wow.
And part of the business is constantly looking at the performance of these affiliate, you know, each affiliate program and saying, okay, you know, this one is kind of underperforming. You know, maybe we have to ask for a payout increase to keep promoting on the site. Or it could be, wow, we're sending a lot of volume to this one, hundreds or thousands of leads or whatnot per day or per month. Maybe we can negotiate a payout increase. So kind of that revenue optimization eventually becomes a big part of a blogging business.
Do you actually have to be an accountant to be able to manage all of these relationships, these affiliate relationships?
No, not at all. They're relatively straightforward. I would actually say that maybe being an accountant has perhaps hindered me from really optimizing the revenue, because at the end of the day, it's sales. It's selling yourself and your brand to these companies and, you know, basically asking them for more money. So sometimes I actually wish I had a sales background or a, you know, kind of a marketing background, because I think that would help me a bit more than just maybe being technically competent in a few financial matters.
Now, do you find that writing a blog means you have to write content? Do you find that you enjoy writing content?
You know, at first I wrote all the blog's content myself, but eventually I got some help. So from freelancers, and now we're looking to hire full-time writers. So I like writing. I do enjoy writing, but at this point in the business, my time is better spent working on some other things.
What are your plans from here? Because I imagine that the traffic, there's probably some limits to that. And obviously, you probably want to continue to grow the business. So once somebody's able to create a good amount of traffic to their blog and monetize it, like, what's next?
Well, it depends really where you want to take it. I think a common goal that a lot of bloggers have is, hey, I want to make $10,000 a month for my blog. And that is a feat in and of itself. It takes a lot of work to get there. And then at that point, some bloggers say, hey, look, I have this kind of nice little lifestyle business. I can kind of take my foot off the gas. It's somewhat passive. Maybe go do something else. And that's a perfectly legitimate way to approach it. But then other bloggers, they want to scale. They want to scale. They want to take their business, make it 7-figure. Maybe we're dreaming of maybe an 8-figure business. You know, in that case, you really got to start buckling down. You can't really rest on your laurels. You really got to build out your content. So yeah, there's a limit to how much content or how much traffic you can get maybe in the side hustle and make money space. Well, okay, maybe at that point you have to look at, okay, where's the opportunity? What other content verticals can we expand into to kind of take advantage of that traffic and try to rank there in Google? So just to constantly grow the business, you know, and obviously building out the team is a major theme for my blog this year, starting to bring on more full-time employees rather than just freelancers, not just writers, but also people who can manage those affiliate relationships, people who can find new affiliate relationships, developers and things like that. So there's just so much room to grow an internet business. It really depends on how far you want to take it.
So what did you find were some of your biggest challenges in starting this? Because it sounds like you kind of got it right away, but I imagine you also had some challenges along the way.
Yeah. So I actually started a blog that actually failed. It was called Millennial Money Club. So that one I launched in February 2017. And I kind of did everything wrong, in a sense, with that blog. You know, it wasn't very visually appealing. I didn't want to invest $100 in a nice theme to make it look nice. I was anonymous on the blog. And, you know, I think that might be okay for a larger brand. But when you're just starting out, people want to hear your story. And they're kind of looking for someone to relate to. So I think new bloggers, it's probably a good idea to tell a little bit about yourself, if you can do so with your job and professionally and things like that. You know, the content that I was writing on that first blog, it really wasn't good. It was just trying to get clicks to basically make money without providing a whole lot of value to readers. So 6 months into that one, I scrapped it and rebranded. And I really had a mindset shift from, okay, how can I get the most affiliate clicks to how can I provide the most value to my readers? And then when I made that shift, everything changed, right? When that was a priority, you know, yeah, I would promote affiliate links and things like that as they made sense. You know, the whole business really changed and I started getting more traffic, you know, making more money than I ever did with that first blog. I think going into it, bloggers, they can get these kind of like starry eye. They can see dollar signs in their eyes, right? And they think, oh, I'm going to make so much money. Well, no, first you got to really provide value to your readers.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, because I think a lot of people go into blogging or online businesses as like a fast way to make money. Like, hey, I'm going to make a lot of money, it's going to be quick, and I'm just going to maximize the amount of money I can make from people, versus I'm going to create a lot of value. And then from there, you naturally make money. You don't have to think about it. It happens if you're doing the right thing for people, which is helping them.
I think especially in the online business space, because it's so easy to start a quote unquote business. There's a lot of people peddling courses out there like, hey, you know, I'll take you from zero to $20,000 a month in 3 months or something like that. And you just got to know there's a lot of crap out there when it comes to people promoting the internet lifestyle and things like that. But at the end of the day, if you're doing right to your people, to your audience, you will be rewarded as long as you have a little business sense along the way.
So how has this kind of affected, you mentioned lifestyle, how does this affect your lifestyle now that you don't have I guess you do have a full-time job, but how does this affect your lifestyle running an online business?
Oh, it's just been a drastic change. Before being in CPA and in client service, it was busy. Every day you're talking to clients and having your calendars full, and it can be a stressful lifestyle. But with blogging now, for the first time in my life, I really feel that I'm in control of my time. I can take a week off, not talk to anybody. I have assistants who will kind of oversee the blog when that happens. And the blog will still make me money without me having to talk to anybody. My wife is, when I was a CPA, she would complain, you know, I never see you, Logan. Like, you're working all the time, or you're out at a client and you're working nonstop sometimes. But now we spend a lot more time together. I have more time with my son, and just my lifestyle, it's just changed 180 for the better.
That's awesome. And I think that we obviously need to put a pin in that point, because we work hard for our family and then we kind of wake up 40 years later and realize, oh, life just passed us by. And we don't really have that quality time that you're talking about, which I think is really important. And for some people, maybe it's they might think the other way, like, hey, my wife wants to see less of me. But I actually knew somebody where this woman used to work with us. She's like, yeah, I took some time off from my job, and so did my husband, and we couldn't stand each other, so we both went back to work.
Yeah, that could be too.
Whatever works, you know, to each their own. But it's nice to have the option of having that freedom. And we don't talk about this too much, but having that financial freedom to not just make your own choices and life decisions, but also have the lifestyle of your choice as well, which I think is really important. So what would you recommend to people who are looking to get started in setting up an online business or a blog, or what things would you recommend for people getting started?
Well, one mistake I see from newbies is they try to come up with something so creative and just so kind of off the wall that no one's ever thought of before. And maybe no one has ever thought of it before. But if your idea is so unique for your blog or your business, you're not going to get enough traffic to really make a decent revenue stream. People email me sometimes like, hey, Logan, I got this great idea for a blog. I'm going to have a blog about healthy recipes for vegan college track and field athletes. That's a real example someone gave me. And it's like, okay, great. Your creative juices are really flowing and I love it. But there's not enough people in that population to really have an audience to really grow your income. So I have this kind of 10 million rule. You know, my rule is, look, if there's 10 million people who are interested and who speak your language in what you're trying to sell or the kind of content you're trying to create, you're probably on the right path. But if you have some product or some idea for a blog and content that's so esoteric, you probably want to broaden it a little bit. And the second thing is, look for other people who are making money online doing what you're doing. Competition is good. Competition means that there are other people out there who are making money at this. If no one's making money off of a recipe blog for college vegan track and field athletes, there's probably a reason for that. So remember kind of my rule of 10 million and look for competition. And then at that point, once you identify your successful competition, you can draw a lot of ideas from them on what they're doing. You don't want to copy, but it's definitely good inspiration.
Do you have any good resources that you found have been helpful when you started that helped you kind of learn all this? Because when we started writing our online content, we read a ton, because it's just there's so much out there and things are always changing. So are there good resources that you found for yourself that were helpful to you to figure out which way you wanted to go?
I looked at really the big players in my field. So NerdWallet and The Penny Hoarder. Those are two big financial sites. And I looked at what are the things they're promoting? Because the things they're promoting the most, that's probably the things that you're making the most money off of. Now, for someone else, it's basically just identifying who are the winners in your space and looking at them and trying to figure out their revenue and monetization models. I really think those are the best resources. In terms of actually the technical component of setting up a blog and things like that, there's a ton of blogging courses out there. I don't want to say any by name, but you know, I found that the online reviews of these courses are generally pretty honest. If that's kind of holding you up, don't let that technical piece hold you up. It's 2019, the hosting companies and WordPress, they make it really pretty easy to get a website up and going. So don't let that stop you.
No, I think that's great advice. And we'll put a number of resources in the show notes for anyone who's looking to go down this path, because I think it's a business. You're starting a business. Some people do it for fun. They want to write for fun. And some people do it as a business. And if you want to do it as a business, it has to run like a business. You want to get some good resources from people who've done it before, people like Logan. So any final takeaways you have here, Logan, for the listeners who are looking to kind of go down this path?
I would say to anybody who's eager to start an online business, and you know, it's really easy to get the dream and that's great. But before you do anything drastic, like quit your job or something like that, make sure you have all your financial ducks in a row to get professional help, just to make sure you're not doing something that could, if it doesn't work out, really set you back a lot. So always be responsible, be conservative with your business estimates, and you'll be okay.
No, I think that's great advice. So where can people find out more about you if they want to learn more about you and your site?
My site is moneydoneright.com. You can type that in your browser bar, or just search Money Done Right and it'll pop up and you can learn more about me there and about what I do.
Have you ever heard a radio ad and thought, wow, what a great idea. I really want to give all my money to a random stranger that I heard on the radio. Hey, you can't say that. Why not? People do it every day. Sure they do. But why are you pointing it out? Well, because some people never learn that lesson of not talking to strangers. This is a public service announcement. If you hear a radio ad that promises you 100% of return of gains with little or no risk, if you hear an ad that promises you easy money, or if it sounds too good to be true, well, it probably is. Do your own research. Or hire a professional. Either way, your money is way too important to your future to make hasty decisions. If you're experienced enough to do your own research, please spend the time. If you're not that experienced to do your own research, hire a professional. Someone experienced in providing investment due diligence, someone who is unbiased, and someone who's going to put your interest above their own. But if you don't know one of those people, you're in luck. Some of them are on this show as hosts and guests. Check us out each week to learn how to invest and protect your wealth. Oh, and remember to sign up for our new free report, The Top 10 Investing Myths That You Know to Be True But Aren't. This report is going to blow your mind. Go to moneytreepodcast.com/myths. Once again, that's www.moneytreepodcast.com/myths. Thanks again for listening, and remember to invest in your life. That was an awesome interview with Logan Alec. Really excited to interview him because he was able to do something that not a lot of people have been able to do. And we really wanted to talk about that because there's a lot of, I don't want to say hype around setting up a blog as a business, but it's really a fantastic profession if you do it properly like Logan did. But this week we've got two blogging professionals, which are also mainstays of the show. Miranda Markwood, how you doing, Miranda?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Well, Miranda has been a longtime blogger or blogging professional. I'm not sure how to title
yeah,
you.
Yeah, blogging professional. It makes me sound like official. It's great. I like it. Blogging professional. Well, actually, I do have a book called Confessions of a Professional Blogger. So, you know.
We will put that on the show notes.
You can flip-flop, you know, am I either a blogging professional or a professional blogger? You know, you can use those interchangeably for me.
We'll just call you a professional. How about that? Ooh. Well, that might not be the right thing either. So also we have Barbara Friedberg on the show. Barbara, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great, Kirk. Nice to be here.
Good. Well, Barbara is also a professional blogger, among other things. She's got a lot of experience with the How long have you been blogging, Barb?
10 years.
Wow.
I know. It feels like a lifetime. But it's led to some really cool stuff. So,
right. I was just going to say, to think I've been doing it even longer than that. I've been doing it for 13 years. Thank you very much.
Wow. I'm just a noob in the group. I've only been doing it for 5.
I'm like 100 years old in internet years.
Well, I think this is going to be an excellent show because I've heard over the years, especially when I got started, that a lot of people were doing blogging as a profession. They were looking at it as like, hey, you know, some people come at blogging and they say, hey, I don't want to just start writing about my life. They were using it as kind of like a journal. And they were thinking, all right, I want to just keep track of what I've done and my journey. And then, you know, people have been around forever, you know, people, I don't say forever, but people have been around for a long time in blogging years, like Miranda, kind of started back when it was not really a profession. They were doing it for fun. And recently, a lot more people like Logan have gotten involved that are doing it as a profession, and they're doing it full time. And they're actually doing it as a business, which I think is an important distinction of whether you're doing it as a business or whether you're doing it as for fun. So Miranda, how have you looked at blogging from as a hobby or professionally, or how have you looked at it?
I actually started out as a profession. So part of the thing though is when I started blogging 13 years ago, I did not have my own blog. I had been blogging for 5 years before I even had my own blog. And mainly it was because I was being paid to provide content for other people. There's a lot of different ways to get into this, but I was actually one of the very first people to provide my professional writing services for other publications. When I started, the blog was kind of a new form. It was like LiveJournal, people sharing, you know, their personal lives on LiveJournal or doing something like that, having their little posts on MySpace. Like, yes, I am old. So it was this sort of new world where businesses, where corporations were starting to have blogs as a marketing strategy. So I started actually blogging for a currency trading market maker. And then I also wrote for a retirement company that advised clients, and I wrote about retirement on their company blog. And then, like I said, I wrote on a blog for a currency market maker. And so it was really kind of interesting. It's been interesting to me to see. So I provided content for these corporate blogs, but then personal blogging took off and people were doing it for a hobby, but then it sort of merged into this, oh, well, I can make money off of this. Well, now I've got to keep doing content. So then they hired me because they needed more content for their blog so they could keep getting the search, so they could keep making money. And it just turned into this thing. And now blogging is a whole business where if you look at Logan's site, Money Done Right, which is a fantastic site, by the way. You know, a lot of the time when I started, people didn't hire other writers for their blog, for their website until they were established. They had their blog for 2 or 3 years. They were starting to make money, and then they would hire another writer, maybe 2 writers. Today, like with Money Done Right, you look at the site and Logan has writers already. And he's, you know, that's kind of how it started out. This is not a website around a personality. It's a website around a brand. And so if you look kind of in the past with personal finance blogging, particularly, it used to be around personalities. Now they're starting out as brands. At least that's kind of my take. And I, like I said, I've made a nice living providing content to other blogs. I have my own blog. I have my own website. It's profitable. But really where I make my money is my freelancing business.
I've seen a lot of articles written about blogging that said, oh, you can make it a business, but I think you make a great point. It doesn't have to look like one specific thing. You know, some people might do it from the perspective of just keeping track of their story. Some people, like you were doing it as a professional, as a freelancer, and some people run it like Logan as a business in of itself. And there's so many different models out there that people have used, and I love the creativity behind it because it's still a new field, even though it's been around for, you know, whatever, 15 years or more. It's still relatively new. But Barb, what about you? I mean, you have your own blog and you write RoboAdvisor Pros. How's your experience been with blogging?
I can really relate to what Miranda said, because when I started out back in 2010, I had just gotten my MBA. I had transitioned out of being a full-time portfolio manager. And what I wanted to do was, hey, I have a lot to say. I want to write a book. So I pitched my book concept to a lot of publishers. And what they said to me was, great concept. You need followers because you are going to be responsible for a good part of the marketing. So I said, what? And I started a blog with the sole intent that I would build up a brand so I could get a book deal. So it totally evolved from there. I did eventually get a book deal, which turned out to be the Encyclopedia of Personal Finance, which was published by a traditional publisher. And I published a couple other books on my own. And then I found, like many other people, hey, this blogging thing is really fun. And I can make a little money on the side. So how cool is that? So then I got really into it. And then I started another blog, Robo Advisor Pros, where I'm in a very, very narrow niche. Site is making a lot more money. But like Miranda, I also do freelance writing. I write for US News and World Report. I've written all across the internet. And I also use my platform to do consulting on robo-advisors. So like many, many people that just started out blogging for the heck of it, it's turned into a very robust business with various income streams.
That's a good testament. You mentioned something about the niche part of it. I find that in my research, when I was researching this 5 years ago, I found that the best sites tend to be niche sites where they're, you know, it's not about investing. You know, it'd be about like value investing, or in Barb's case, you know, robo-advisors or something that's very specific. Because if you really want to be the expert in that area, like Barb is with robo-advisors, like you really need to specialize. You know, I could talk about robo-advisors on my site, but that's not really what the site's about. And people aren't going to really find me because that's not what the site's about. For me, I have a different story. I started about 5 years ago. I saw an individual speak at a conference, and he was talking about how he was using online marketing to expand his wealth management business. And I was fascinated by it because I had heard about it, but I didn't know much. And I just kind of heard him explain what he was doing. So I really did a lot of research on it, and we redesigned our whole site, went in, and I basically wrote blog content for 5 years. Once a week, I'd write a blog post, and I'd make it very specific to the content that I wanted to drive, and I wanted to make it. I really didn't do it to make money. So I wasn't writing to make money. I was writing it as a way for people to know who I am. So for instance, if somebody contacted me and said, hey, I want to work with you as an advisor, can you tell me about yourself? Oh, I don't have a brochure. I just say, here, go to my website and read my blog post. It's literally everything you want to know about me. It's my opinions. It's how I look at things. Part of the reason I'm doing this show is for that reason. But I don't expect to make money from my posts. I do it more for branding, for people to get to know me, and to help our company really niche down, because we specialize in self-directed IRAs. If you're looking for self-directed IRAs, our site will pop up frequently because that's kind of what we're known for. But for me, it was a different avenue, and we've never really tried to make money on the site. We could, but that's not really our goal. Our goal is really more from a branding perspective. So I think it's great that everyone has these different views. Miranda, what are your thoughts on this? Like, because there are other ways than blogging, but what other ways can people look at like online marketing, if you will?
Well, one of the things that I really like that Barb pointed out when she was talking about this is she talked about having multiple revenue streams. I think that's a huge important thing when you're talking about any financial goal, when you're talking about investing, no matter what you're doing, I think having those multiple streams is very important and understanding how they help you reach your goals. And so there are lots of other ways. You know, I talked about how like I'm a professional writer, I provide services online, or you can build a blog and you can follow this kind of affiliate model, but there's also ways to like make courses. So I know people who, you know, make courses about like how to get out of debt. Our friends, David Outen, he joined us a couple weeks ago, Debt Free Guys. Like they have a really great course on like getting out of debt. And like our friend Jackie Beck has her Pay Off Debt app. So she developed an app that does not cost very much money, but it helps you pay off your debt. Then there are people who do courses on, you know, well, how do you do this marketing? How do you make this work? How do you make that Facebook ads work for you? And then there are people who write ebooks. I know plenty of folks who make a really good solid income stream just from writing ebooks and marketing them and putting them out there. And then they just kind of get that recurring passive income. So there are lots of different ways that you can do this. The internet has really made it possible for people to, a few years ago, Tim Ferriss wrote The 4-Hour Workweek and talked about lifestyle design in this book. And yeah, you probably are going to be doing more than 4 hours worth of stuff, especially at the beginning. But the bottom line is the internet allows you to invest in yourself and invest in your own lifestyle and find a way that fits you to kind of work toward that financial independence or that lifestyle that you want.
I love the fact that you're bringing that up because I think that's a huge part of the draw of the kind of the online business is the lifestyle design. You can work from anywhere. You can work the hours you want to work. You can work more or less. You can work part-time, full-time, as a gig. There's a lot of different ways this can be done. What about you, Barb? What are some good examples you've seen of people who've made this concept work in their professional lives?
Oh my gosh, it's just insane. A lot of people, for example, social media marketing, a lot of people garner a whole bunch of followers on, say, Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, and then brands actually come to them and pay them. Now, I have, for example, like 12,000 Twitter followers, and I have a, 3,000 LinkedIn followers. And so from that kind of modest amount, I get a lot of interest in my other services and on occasion get invited to do paid marketing because of my followers. So someone will pay me to promote something to my followers. Once you build up a presence and a reputation, there are so many other opportunities that will emerge that you might never have even thought of. But if I were to give advice to someone who was listening to this and saying, well, how does this apply to me? What I would say is, first of all, do you want to make another income stream? Or do you want to find out a way that you can work a little more from home? Because using the internet is an ideal way to do that. And then you find something that really resonates with you. What are you great at? What are you interested in? And then you either build up a blog to identify your credentials, or you build up a social media platform. You build up your online presence. There's so many places you can write for free on LinkedIn, on Medium, on many, many other platforms. Once you get established, then you have opportunities to do consulting in your arena, or like Kirk did, he used his online platform to build up his main business. And I think that is an awesome way. And the only limit you have is your own creativity.
You made a great point there, Barb, about the other opportunities that can come from your online presence. I know a funny example just the other day, my wife started a Instagram account for our dog because she just thought it would be fun and she makes some really funny comments. She actually got a request from a dog company saying, hey, are you interested? Basically, our dog got a modeling contract from some dog company, which I find hilarious. She doesn't really have a ton of followers, but I just found it really funny.
That's a perfect example of what can happen. And I think this idea of using your creativity and skills, what you're good at and or what you're interested in, your dog, your pets, put it out there. The sky is the limit on what types of opportunities might in fact arise.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And one thing I want to actually talk about here as well is the fact that it's not all just sunshines and rainbows. You know, like you hear all these success stories of people who've done a really good job at it. But, you know, obviously it's hard work. It's not something you just wave a magic wand and it just happens. So Miranda, what are your comments on this? I know you've been around for a while in this space. Like, what are some things people should watch out for?
One of the things to realize is when you see this sort of meteoric type of success, or we see these like overnight success stories, a lot of time there was a lot of groundwork to go into it. So even though something like Logan, who happened in a relatively short period of time, there's a lot of behind the scenes works that goes into that. And so it just didn't magically happen. There's a strategy involved. There's hard work involved. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. And then I know other people who they work their day job, they come home, they have their family time, everything else. But then work time is from like 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. And they work on whatever their business is. They work on their website. They work on whatever it is. So I think it's really important to take a step back and say, okay, I mean, it looks easy from the outside, but the reality is there's usually a lot of hard work, or there's some sort of strategy, or there's some sort of planning. It doesn't just magically happen. You know, you have to be very mindful about what you're doing, because you have to realize that when you're doing this, it's another type of investment, right? You're investing your time. You might be investing some of your money. You're making investments. And so you need to be strategic about that. You need to make the calculated risks so that you get the return you're looking for, and realize that just like any other investment, that return might be a little bit longer in coming, or you might lose. So it's really important to keep that in mind as you move forward.
What about you, Barb? What are your thoughts on things that people should watch out for?
I really resonate to what Miranda said, because by my nature, I am a really, really hard worker. That's just how I am. And if I looked at my hourly wage for the amount of time that I am still putting in 10 years later, trust me, I could probably work at a 9-to-5 and make more money. Definitely in the investment world, I would. So my income is not sky high. You know, some people are making like $20,000 a month. Well, that's the very, very rare person. Most people who have online businesses make a certain amount to supplement their income, or a modest salary. But the trade-off is, or a modest income, the trade-off is you have control. And that is so fun. And you have creativity. I would be lying if I said that my income from my online streams of income is stratospheric. It's not. It's respectable. It's fine. It's enough for me. But the amount of work that I put in to writing, to working on the website, to doing marketing, to doing promotion, to doing responding just to emails alone takes an inordinate amount of time. Really, I'm slow to recommend anyone to blog if money is their sole motive. Because for 99% of people who get online with a blog looking just to make money, there are a lot of ways that you can make more money, probably like driving Uber. You probably make more money.
Right.
You know, working for TaskRabbit or something like that. I know for sure, like Miranda, hourly, I make a ton more money writing freelance than I do building up my websites to make revenue on their own.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I just have... I've just said, like, you know, I like writing. I like doing the freelancing. I like that flexibility that you were talking about, that freedom. If I don't want to work with somebody, I can say no. I mean, so I like that freedom and flexibility. And it does. It makes me more money than my websites do. But it really comes down to like what's going to work for you, right? And what makes you happy and what helps you get that lifestyle you're looking for.
Well, and the lifestyle issue, I think, is so key, because today there's a lot written about the trade-off of your time and your money and your lifestyle. And for many of us, although, yeah, a certain amount of income is important, but once you reach that amount of income that you feel is appropriate for you, many of us are just interested. We want to live our lives and we want to have the freedom and flexibility to make a life that we want, not a life that is dictated by outside societal norms and parameters.
No, that's a great point, because I'd actually read a study, I think it was done like 15 or 20 years ago, which said that all people really need is about $75,000 to be happy. And money beyond that doesn't really give you the same incremental happiness. Like, obviously, more money will make you happy. You know, I'd rather drive a Ferrari than a Yugo, but you know,
I'm happy with my Subaru. Maybe I want a Tesla. We'll see.
But generally speaking, for most people, like, it can make you temporarily happy. Like, yeah, it'd be nice to drive a nice car, but is it going to make you that much happier? No. And so I think there is a point where money is no longer the object. And I think if everybody thinks like, hey, it'd be really nice to be ultra high net worth and be worth $100 million and that we'd have no problems if we had that much money. Well, oddly enough, everyone has the same, they have different problems, but everyone has problems. They're just different problems. So what's important to take away from what both of you said is that if you're going to do this, you should enjoy it. You shouldn't do it just because you need a job and this is, you read some article that says, hey, I just made $1 million blogging. You know, you should really enjoy it. So for instance, I don't enjoy writing. I did it for 5 years. I forced myself to write because I knew it had to be done. I hated every minute of it. Now, I got a lot of really positive things from that experience. Like, I can really clarify my speaking a lot better now than I could before, and as well as my thinking. So it really helped me crystallize a lot of my thoughts. And I still write occasionally because it allows me to take a concept and really distill it down to what I want to say. But I don't enjoy it. And I know some people who blog love writing. And I'm sure both of you, to some extent, really love writing. I don't. So for me, it wasn't a long-term thing. It was really just a means to an end. And now I do it occasionally. So I think you have to, whatever format you use, you really have to enjoy it, because it's not going to work out of the box. It's not going to, you're not going to make $1 million in day one. You know, I did this for years before I got any traction. And I wouldn't say I did a great job at it. I did an adequate job. I did, you know, the essentials to make it work for me. But I know some of these people like Logan doing it in a year. I mean, that's awesome. I wish I had that kind of knowledge going in. I just kind of figured it out when I did it.
And piggybacking on what you said, Kirk, there is a lot of pain, a lot more pain taking this type of path, because it's all on you and the results are slow in coming. So you have to be strong and say, okay, I know this is not an easy route, but the other payoffs are worth taking the self-doubt and the difficulties that come with building up a side hustle or ultimately a full-time hustle.
And that's a great point. And there are people who really this will appeal to quite a bit, because as a side hustle, stay-at-home parents, or if you're working a part-time job, or you're just looking to potentially move into another venture, and this is your conduit. So there are a lot of reasons that this is a good idea. But let's have some final thoughts on this before we wrap up. Miranda, what are some final thoughts you would give people on this topic?
You know, we do what Joe Salcija used to say is, you know, begin with the end in mind, like figure out what your final goal is, figure out what you want out of this, figure out why do I want to do this blog? What will it help me with in life? Why do I want to make this course? Why do I want to write this book? Why do I want to drive this Uber? Whatever it is, figure out like that end goal. Is it more freedom? Is it more flexibility? Is it to supplement your income so you can reach financial independence faster? Is it so that you have more money so that you can invest more and then also reach FI faster? However it is, figure out what that final outlook is supposed to be. Do you want more time to volunteer? Do you want more time with your kids? Whatever it is, start there and figure out your reason, your why for doing it, and kind of work backward and create a plan that's going to help you design that lifestyle.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Miranda. And I'll reiterate that point. And we call it, actually, it's not even my term, but it's about finding your why. It's about finding your purpose. Simon Sinek has written a lot about this, but it's basically, if you understand what your purpose is, then the other pieces are just tools to that and roadmaps to that purpose, right? You don't blog to blog, you blog for a purpose. So as long as it aligns with that, then that may be the right thing for you. What about you, Barb? What are your final thoughts?
You guys have pretty much said it all. So the only thing I'd like to add is, whatever you do, don't let it define you. So you are not your job, your work, your blog, your side hustle. That makes going into any endeavor a little bit easier if you take an approach that you're more than just what you do.
That's great. And where can people find more about you, Barb?
They can come visit me at Robo Advisor Pros, where you can learn everything you'll ever want to know and more about digital investment management.
Great. And what about you, Miranda? Where can people find more about you?
Just head on over to MirandaMarkwood.com. That's pretty much where I've consolidated everything, and we're working on moving forward with that. So head on over to MirandaMarkwood.com. You'll also see a financial resources page where you can see how the tools I use to manage my money and live the life I want.
Awesome. So ending out the show, my name is Kirk Chisholm. I'm a wealth manager with Innovative Advisory Group. We don't just manage your wealth, we make your life better. You can find out more about me at innovativewealth.com. And of course, you can always find me every week here on the show. Thank you again for joining us this week on Money Tree Investing Podcast. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play. You can also check out our show on moneytreepodcast.com. On the website, you'll have access to all our resources, show notes, as well as some of the archive shows. Lastly, please leave a show rating and comments on the podcast app of your choice. So when you subscribe and rate to the show, it allows us to have better access to some of the top guests that I know you're going to want to hear. We have some great guests coming up, so stay tuned for the next few weeks. Have a great week ahead, and remember, no one will care about your money like you do, so invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.